It is a great honor to be with you in the pulpit today. Last Sunday, as Steve said, I completed my nine-month supervised practice of ministry at First Presbyterian Church and was blessed with great leadership from Paul and acceptance by many new and dear friends there. They suffered with me through many learning experiences, and you are doing the same today. As I shared with them last week, some church someday will really appreciate that which you have done to help me grow as a servant of God and grow through these last few years. And speaking of that, I want to explain a bit about why you won't be seeing us around in the near future. On May 8th, this Wednesday, we will be leaving for an around the USA trip driving, including a stop at Dubuque, where I'll be given my master's degree on May 18th. We'll return to Denton for a couple of days, but no Sundays. And when the driving trip concludes, we'll be in Colorado, where we will have a summer of rest and no homework. Woohoo! But a summer of applying to churches for jobs as their pastor. And who knows what God has in mind for us. Please keep us in your prayers and know that we've missed being here with you this year. Our passage for today is from the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. Listen for the word of God to your lives. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. O God of promise, your word made flesh in Jesus Christ is trustworthy and true. By the power of your Holy Spirit, may it rise up in us this day like a gift from the spring of water of life to refresh our thirsty souls. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
In some ways, this is a very strange passage to be reading on the sixth Sunday of Easter. Just a short time ago, we celebrated the resurrection. The pyramids in the sanctuary are still white. We still gather in the echo of Easter's good news, singing of the resurrection and God's ultimate victory over sin and death. But here, we seem to be jumping back quite a little bit. This text takes us back to the night before the crucifixion, and we are back again to Maundy Thursday. Tucked between feet washing and betrayal, and then denial and crucifixion, is this last message that Christ gave to his disciples. Our passage mentions little children or dear children, which is an endearing term. And it's found only in the Gospel of John, and then occurs seven other times in the Gospel of 1 John, in the community, speaking of the community of others. Perhaps Jesus is experiencing sadness, the pain of betrayal by someone close to him, and an urgency to say to the disciples the most important words that are to be spoken. This is his last advice, and the thing he wants them to most remember. "Little children," he says to them, "I am with you only a little longer." He acknowledges that the immediate impact of his glorification through death and resurrection will mean an absence from them. And into this reality, he leaves them this command and tells them he will be with them for only a little while longer. Our main focus for today are his words about love. I give you a new commandment that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should love one another. By this, everyone will know you are my disciples, if you love one another. Now, you may recall that these are the same men who just a few days before this upper room encounter were arguing about who was the greatest in Christ's kingdom. James and John had lobbied for first and second vice president and had even enlisted their mother to come in and close the case. They did not seem like a group that was about to break into unconditional love. In the midst of this conflict of wills, Jesus issues what would be a very difficult command: love one another. So much to unpack here. I give you a new commandment. Well, so what's new about this commandment? The Greek for new, kainos, is a word which occurs only twice in John, here, and then in the 19th chapter when they talk about a new tomb into which our master would be laid. The old commandment was the Jewish tradition found in Leviticus, which says to love your neighbor as yourself. The greatest difference between the new commandment and this golden rule commandment is that Jesus doesn't just tell us how we should act, he models it. Our model of love is not held up to human standards, love your neighbor as yourself. It is held up to the highest standard, love as I have loved. Jesus offers these simple and challenging words, love one another. Why? Because it is the kind of love that is the hallmark of not just God and Jesus, but of the Christian church. As the old camp song, "They Will Know We Are Christians by Our Love," from which I stole this title today, Jesus agrees that the whole world will know we are Christians not by our sermons or our sacraments or our buildings or our crosses or our family values, but by our love. It's just that important. Love one another may not quite constitute the whole of the gospel, but Jesus tells his disciples to love one another not once, not twice, but three times in two verses. In this, Jesus' last opportunity to speak to his disciples, its importance is vividly clear. This is a special day because we are commissioning three new Stephen ministers, Karen, Marissa, and Harriet. And Stephen ministry is a good example of that kind of love that Christ speaks to us about. Another great example of foot washing and loving as Christ happened in Boston when bystanders yanked off their belts to apply tourniquets as they offered personal touch and words of support to injured strangers. And there were equal stories in West and in almost every community that faces a crisis. Although completely different causes, the Boston tragedy got me to thinking again about Katrina. Remember Barbara Ann, little Barbara, and her daughters Rashon and Zaria? Or her mom, Barbara, that we called Big Barbara, although she was little, and her boyfriend Michael, who became husband and wife here in Denton, and her daughter Keontae? Or Michael and Hilda, who lost their bed and breakfast in the waters of New Orleans. And then there was Leroy, who was the uncle to many of them, and Vestine and Rufus. You may recall that Rufus lost his leg from an infection caused by walking through the waters in New Orleans. He and Vestine were also married here in Denton. And then there was Kevin, who died a year after he became a quadriplegic from a car accident. And Tyrone, whose first request for goods was for an iron and ironing board, because his father was a Marine and he had always been taught to iron his shirts. Anyway, Tyrone told me a story that before he evacuated New Orleans, a friend of his called. Her father refused to leave his home, and she asked Tyrone to check on him. Tyrone went through waist-deep water to check on Pops. Pops was in the house and wouldn't leave because he didn't have a lock for the cyclone fence, which was underwater, and he feared that someone might rob him. Tyrone lifted him to his shoulders and carried him out of the house under the protests. And they stopped at the cyclone gate. And Tyrone, while balancing Pops on his shoulders, pulled off his belt and tied it around the gate, saying, "Pops, I think that'll keep him out." To which Pops said with a big grin, "Son, I think you're right." And off they went. Boston, West, New Orleans, Denton, and we continue to draw Jesus' strength from these stories and others. Jesus made this new commandment between Judas leaving to betray him and before disciple Peter denied him three times and before literally all of his disciples except John abandoned him. So are we not asked by this command to find a place for the 19-year-old Chechen immigrant who is accused of committing horrible crimes against families and children and against the soul of the wonderful city of Boston? Are we not asked to find a place for him at the table? I believe this is a necessary duty for me, for us, just as it was for the doctors who fought to save his life without regard for how he lived it. This is not an easy thing that we are called to do. It will mean we must struggle to love the stranger, the enemy, those who have hurt us or betrayed us. For this is precisely the kind of person that Jesus loves when he loves the disciples. And it is precisely the kind of person that Jesus loves when he loves me and when he loves you. He loves the person who does not deserve to be loved. His love never gives up. It never quits. So how much does Jesus love you? Jesus loves you as though you were the only person in the world. And he comes to Bethlehem and he comes to Calvary just the same, just for you. And that is how we are to love one another. At the very least, you would have to agree that the love that Jesus commanded us to have for one another is quite radical compared to that which passes for love in our culture. This is a love which will never die. We are still in the Easter season. This is what Easter is all about. Eternal life is not something that happens just when we die, but it is present now. This is what it means to live in the spirit of the risen Christ. It means a radical orientation of our lives. As Paul said in Galatians 2, "With Christ have I been crucified, and so I live. Yet it is no longer I, but Christ who lives in me. And this life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We cannot excuse any pettiness, self-righteousness, or pride with a wave of our hand that says, well, after all, I'm only human. Our love is not held up to a human standard. It is measured against Christ as the standard. This, as we know, is a simple statement, but it is not an easy one. We can and often do love each other. Think about a time this week when you expressed love. And think about a time when you didn't. That's our goal. Not to say that we don't try, but we always need to strive to do more. The truth is that we do love regularly, and we fail regularly. And this community, our church home, with our church family, is where we can give thanks for the former and pray for the latter. And whether we succeed or fail this week, God in Jesus Christ loves us more than we can possibly imagine. But when we think of people that cause us to have difficulty living this new commandment, here's the key. You have to admit that you cannot keep this commandment in your own strength. And then you have to ask for help. Romans 5 says, God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. We supply the empty heart, and God supplies the love through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Are you willing to be the conduit through which God's love is delivered to a person that you have a hard time with? That is to say, if God supplies the love, will you give it? When we can say yes to this, we will have centered our lives in that which can give lasting love in every facet of our living. Go back to the setting of this scene once more to remember that above and beyond Jesus' command to love is his actual act of love. Jesus goes to the cross to demonstrate that, in fact, God so loved the world. Jesus went to the cross to show in word and deed that God is love and that we as God's children are loved. So whether we succeed or fail in our attempts to love one another this week, yet God in Jesus Christ loves us more than we can possibly imagine. And hearing of this love, we are set free and sent forth once again to love each other. Richard Rohr, in his book Hope Against Darkness, shares, the journey remains a spectator sport until we love as Jesus loves and can therefore go where he goes with a basin and a towel. This Easter season, may we truly consider what it means to follow Christ, to be a people of the resurrection, as people living by a new commandment from a resurrected Lord. Let us not live as the world does, but love one another so that the world might believe. Little children, love one another as I have loved you. This is how everyone will know that you are my disciples. May it be so with us. I have said these words to you in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.